This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. My message today could be long, but it's going to be very short. Someone always asks me, you know, do you have something that you're going to share? And it's something that you've been praying for all week. I've been praying all week, believing all week, and I have so much always to share. I always have to cut it down some. And it's because God wants to focus it right here. Do you know that all the words that have come up today, I mean, I don't know how many, but have you seen even God using little ones, a 12-year-old, Lexi, that's a junior in high, going to be a senior, I'm sorry. She'll be having a chair here pretty soon. And then people coming and saying, I just have to give this. God has just told me I have to give it. It's because God is here, and he's here to speak today. And he's here for each one. You know that God uses me to speak, but he also uses other people. Holy Spirit has gifts here today, and that if we allow the Holy Spirit to move, he will come and move, and he'll use all kinds of people. He'll use you to speak out, and those words are going into people, and they're receiving them. Do you believe that? The word that God wants you to hear today is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, just the first part of it. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. Let me say it again. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. I praise God for men and women of God that have done great and mighty things. I praise God for my mom and dad for many, many years. And many of you have been touched mightily by their ministry. They have started a ministry here, Church of Living Waters, 38 years ago. Many of you have connected with them. Some of you were here at the very beginning of it. I praise God for you, but I'm here to tell you that although we stand in with honor of what God has done, he is here with an anointing in this hour to bring in people that are going to finish what he's called us to do. I praise God. I praise God for the beginning of all kinds of things, but the game is won and lost at the end. The game is won and lost at the end. And God has brought people here, and he's connected us individually as a body, and he's connected us together, and we are finishers of what God has planned here in this ministry. Now, you know, I'm not here saying I know that Jesus is coming back soon. It was prophesied over 2,000 years ago that he's coming back soon. And you might have this thought, well, that was a long time ago. They were saying that. We don't know when he's coming. Yes, we don't know when he's coming, but 2,000 years ago it was soon, so it's really soon now. Come on. I believe that we're in a couple of generations of seeing Jesus split the sky wide open. The eastern sky. And hear the trumpets blow. I believe that God has chosen us as a generation to probably speak into one more generation to go out and share the last message of Christ. What an honor. What an honor that God wrote my book and he selected me in this hour, in the 12th, 11th hour, as an 11th hour worker, getting prepared and ready to receive the bride. Come on. To receive the bridegroom coming after us as his bride. What an amazing time to be alive. The word says in Ecclesiastes that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. I believe that God has called a mighty group of people today in this hour to finish what he's started. We're again honoring the people before, the people that have done great and mighty things. I got a message today of Rosemary and Philip going to the Frio. Praise God. Like she said, we're praying for this group to have a great and mighty time. Just a week ago, the Frio had no water in it. Now it's like rushing river there, so they're so excited. But they were listening from a tape of my dad and a message, and Philip was texting me saying, this is a now word for right now. I praise God for men and women of God before us, that their words are still speaking. Amen? And there's still now words that we can grab a hold of and listen. I want to read something to you. And I have about five messages that's going to be turned down to this reading. I want to speak into you because God's speaking today. A man was rowing a boat against the river's strong current. He was straining hard to advance against the flow of the water, a tough task, but doable. Other boats, bigger, most and luxurious, and containing parties of people, frequently passed him flowing downstream. The people on these boats were laughing, drinking, and they were at ease. Occasionally, they would look over at the man battling the current and mock him. He had to fight for every inch of progress, while they very little to absolutely nothing for what they had. After a while, the man grew weary of pressing against the current. Tired and discouraged, he put up the oars. For a few moments, he continued to drift upstream from the momentum, but soon came very much to a standstill. Then something sad and terrible happened. Though still positioned upstream, his rowboat began to drift downstream with the current. Soon the man noticed another party boat. This one was different from the other party boats, for like his own rowboat, this party boat also was pointed upstream, yet was flowing downstream with the current. This boat also carried people who were laughing, socializing, and was at ease. Since it was pointed upstream, the direction the man had wanted to go, he decided to hop on and join them. They now became a close-knit group, unlike the other party boats that faced the travel downstream. This boat pointed upstream, but sadly, it continued flowing downstream with the current. The interpretation of this, God wants to speak this today. The river represents the world, and the rowboat is our human body that enables us to live and function in this world. The man in the rowboat is a believer. His oars symbolize God's unmerited grace. The party boats of people, those joined together in one purpose. And the river's current represents the flow of this world, which we know this very strong, which is under the sway of the evil one. By the oars of grace, the man had the ability to resist the current and move upstream to his destiny in advancing the kingdom of God. His physical strength represents faith. Sadly, his strength wanes and grows very weary, very difficult in the fight. He doesn't think that he has it what it takes when he really does have what it takes. Consequently, he eventually runs out of steam and he quits. Once the man quits rowing, the boat continues moving forward upstream for a short time due to sheer momentum. And this is where the deception moves in. He still sees some fruit in his life, even though what produced is no longer propels him. He thinks that he can live at ease, no longer alert, no longer being prepared, no longer being vigilant, and still lead a successful Christian life. Finally, the boat comes to a standstill, and then it begins to drift backwards downstream, slowly at first, but eventually at the same speed as the current. Here's the telling part of the vision. While his boat is still pointed upstream, looking towards the things of God, he drifts backwards with the current. He now has the appearance of Christianity, knows the talk, knows the songs, knows the mannerism of his kingdom, but in reality, he is conforming to the ways of the world. Eventually, he spots another boat, a party of other believers like him. They all consider themselves part of the church because they, too, are pointed upstream. They know the talk, the songs, the mannerism. However, they are at ease because they have settled for a fruitless Christian life and are under the sway of the evil one who controls their current. Those in this Christianity boat are no longer persuaded. They're no longer persecuted. They're no longer mocked. They're no longer made fun of. They're no longer different. They've joined the world's influence. They no longer press forward, as the Apostle Paul encouraged every Christian to do. I press forward for the goal, for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, these drifting believers have little or no resistance to the ways of the world. Consider this scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, reading in the Message Bible. Particularly everything that goes on in the world. Wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all of its wanting, is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. The division I described, it talks about three different people. It talks about the believer, the unbeliever, and the deceived. The believer must press in the fight of faith to obtain kingdom advancement. The deceived hides his or her motives of wanting through Christian appearance and the misuse of Scripture. I know this vision sometimes is kind of difficult, but we as God's church, we have to clearly understand and we have to know that we are His people called by His name, called together as His body, and we're different than anything that the world has. Come on. The world has a lot of good to it. He's created it, so it has a lot of good, good in family. Good in relationship. It was so amazing when I received my bride. It's amazing when we had our first child, our children, our six children today, our two foster sons. It's amazing to see what God is doing amongst us. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not from this world. I'm passing through it. As you heard a young 12-year-old come up and speak today about the horror of what this world has. Of little ones making fun of each other, hearing stories from kids of being bullied, hearing all kinds of things that the world has that it's produced because of the pain of what the enemy has done through sin. And to hear how mean the world is, and to watch the news and to see every night things that are happening, a child taking the life of his parents, all of this stuff. I am not from this world, I'm passing through it. And I'm here to tell you that in my life, I've had many days of feeling very weary. God has spoken to me today that there's many people, maybe most of half of us here today, that feel very weary right now in our lives. And I'm here to tell you, it's not bad to feel weary. The world creates weariness in us. Come on. If you're not feeling weary, then you need to really take a check of your life. To be honest with you, Paul says to evaluate our lives, to see where we are. See, this race that God's called us to run, He said to do it with endurance. He asked us to do it with one thing. He didn't say with happiness, run your race with happiness. He didn't say run your race with this. He said run your race with endurance because the prize is going to be in front of you, and I've created for you to go and to get it. Think about the boat that represents our lives, our body. And I understand this because I've been to the Frio River. You've heard me say this a lot about the river, going against the current. It's real easy to get on the boat, our body, and just let the body float with the current, with the ways of the world. I can easily share things that I've taken and looked out as saying, this is a mark in my life. I'm not going to forget this mark. And to see how far the world has ran from that mark. I remember when not being able to go to even a PG movie. That mark. I remember that date. And I understand that in those PG movies at that time, there was 2 to 3 curse words. And that's why the mark of my mom saying, you're not going to that movie because of the 2 or 3 curse words. It's not going to come into your ears. Today, if you go to a PG movie that we allow our kids to go to, all of them, come on. It has over 80 curse words in a PG movie. We've allowed society just to float us down, and we've just let the boat just go on. Some of us have joined the party boat, and we're still pointed towards the right way, but we're going backwards. God has called us to pick up the oar. His oar represents His grace and His mercy, and it's sufficient for you today. Doesn't matter where you are, His grace and mercy is enough. It doesn't matter where your life is today. It doesn't matter how far you've been. It doesn't matter. But His grace and mercy is here for you today. And it represents this oar that we put our two hands on and that we put it in the current of this world and we start moving a different way with it. And we start going against what society's telling us to do. See, I praise God for all the things that are good. But I'm here to tell you, I want the highest education for my children. But if the highest education puts them on a path away from the Father, I don't want it in their lives. I want them to do all kinds of great things in their life. I want them to be as what they want to be. I want them to be the nurse that they want to be. I want them to be this that they want to be. But I'm here to tell you, if I'm a father in their lives and I see that's taking away from what God wants in their lives and it's putting them on a track, what the Word of God says, that it has nothing to do with a father, I don't want that in their lives. Yes, I want them to be successful. Yes, I'm a proud dad. I'm a proud dad for who they are right now, who God created them to be. They don't have to do this for me to be more proud of them. I'm proud. I'm believing that each one of my children are going to be world changers in this dying, dark world. If it's a college education that God wants for them, praise God. If it's a Bible study that God wants for them, praise God. If it's what God wants, we will hear from God and we will go that way. I'm not going to let the world, society shape who we are, who I am, because I'm God's son. I'm not from this world that we're trying to work out. I'm not from this world that's trying to give me all the influence and all the things that I need and all the tools and equip me to be a leader. I am God's son. I am His leader because He is my head. So I don't have to go learn how to be a leader. Jesus is led. He led on His knees. He led with His hands and feet, washing feet. He led as a servant. And He's the greatest leader that we'll ever talk about. And for generations and generations to come, He will be worshipped as King. And He didn't go to a leadership school. Come on. The Word of God is so clear today. God is moving Church of Living Waters into a very important time. That's why Brother Rudy's here standing with me, because God has led him. That's why brothers came and surrounded me today, because God has led them. I've been on a boat, and I've had those oars of grace and mercy, and I've been always with my family, always going up against the current. From day one of my life, we went up against the current. I remember at age 5, going in the Wallace area, picking up kids, and needing to wash their hair because of lice all in their hair. I remember as a 5-year-old, my mom making it fun for us, saying, we're doing this. Why are we doing this? We're doing it to please God. We're doing it because God gets the glory. We're doing it because people need help. We're doing it because He's blessed us so much, we must bless others. It's been my whole life going against the current, not having the stuff that everybody else had. I said this not too long ago. I didn't have the Converse. I had the Tuffies. They looked like Converse. Man, they felt like a Converse. But I found out as soon as I went to school, they were not Converse. They were called Tuffies. I'm thankful that I wore the Tuffies. It impacted my life to be different. God's called us, and He's called this body. And this body, if you look at it, you can hear the testimony of the body today with Ricky and Liz. You could hear that testimony with everyone that's almost in this body that's been here over a year of how this body has come together and stood. The reason why that testimony comes is because God has created this body and it's a healthy body. See, what we think health is, not always is what God thinks health is. We would think that health would be people busting out of the doors, so many people here. We would think that we would need to be building buildings and doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm not against those things. But I'm for unity in the body. I'm for you're my brother, you're my sister, and we're in covenant relationship together. That if you're sick and I have something that can help you, I'll give it to you. I don't hold anything back. Because I've been in the boat, rowing the oars, going up against the current. And completely been hit by lightning. Come on. And there's many people here in this facility that today know exactly what I'm talking about because you were right there and you've been right there. There's many families here. As Ricky and Liz bring this beautiful baby here and we're seeing this beautiful baby come, there's many families in this facility that, as Liz said, that the one baby that was there passed away. There's families here that have lost a baby. And it's amazing that they're being able to rejoice with Ricky and Liz, a life saved by God, and losing their own son or losing their own daughter, standing with them, believing for them. It's a miracle, people. You know, the word says this, that God takes some very innocent, very young, because he wants to hold them in their hands because they do not have to experience the pain that's in this world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Wants to take a young son because he loves that son so much, just like he loves everyone else, but he wants to hold that one because he says, this son is not going to experience no pain. I'm receiving him right now. See, we don't get to determine. We stand here and we rejoice with this couple because God has moved on their behalf and he's heard their cry. But we don't get to determine who he takes and who he doesn't take. Come on, he knows our life before it was even for time. As I spoke to these seniors, he has your life in a book and he's writing it even now. And you might say this, you might say, well, goodness, he really messed my life up. Come on. Man, why did he write that chapter in my life? I knew somebody was going to think that. No, he didn't write that chapter in your life. His purpose and his destiny and his promise goes forward that he'd written, and choices that you made went off of it. Come on. The choices that the world of just laying down the oars and letting it just float and going with the society took us off of his purpose. The amazing thing about God is that that book, that chapter, that time right now, you can jump right back in it. I've jumped back in it many times in my life. God's calling for a group of people right now to get right back aligned with what God has written in the book for today, June 1st, 2014. Tommy, I see you preaching. I know it's a big thing, and I don't want to embarrass you. I see it. There's an alignment that God has already started, and you know. And the winning of it is not preaching. The winning of it is doing his purpose and his will. See, many will preach behind a pulpit, but you could preach every day of your life. But there is some pulpit preaching for you, brother. And I'm excited to see that, and I surround you. I was on that boat with my oars going against society, working hard, knowing that God gives us grace. He gives us strength when we're weary, and got hit by lightning. And I'm telling you, I couldn't move anymore. My oars of grace and mercy came out, and I stood stand still. The body of Christ came, took me out of the boat, and put me in their boat. That's what happened, Ricky. That's why there's some tears in your life right now. Because your boat just stopped, stand still. You're still going the same way. You're still headed that way. But because of life and how it's turned a curve, and it wasn't God that turned the curve, it's because of sin, it's because of the world. Though your boat stopped, your oars came out, a group of people said, no, Ricky and Liz, come ride in our boat. We're going to continue to go against the flow of this world. And we're going to put you on our back. We're going to put you in the boat, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to continue to see God move. And soon, you'll be strong enough to get back out and to go forward. Soon, though, you'll be putting someone in your boat. It's the things of God. Come on, it's who God is. It's what God says. But what he doesn't want us to do is that he doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us just to take an easy way out. He never said that this world was going to be easy. But he did say that we'll be overcomers. Come on. There's people going through some difficult things right now, and you're very tired. And the oars are coming out, and you're in that standstill. But today, God is speaking, and he's speaking very clear. And there's going to be a great strength that's going to come on your life to put those oars back in and to go very fast for the next couple of years. With great strength, a great advancement's going to come into your life right now because of what God is saying. A great advancement is coming into Church Living Waters, and it's not the advancement that we're going to be able to think that we know this is what it is, but it's an advancement that we're going to see many souls come to Christ. I had a brother speak to me this week, and I've cried out a little this week. And he said, it's so important for you to take care of yourself, for you to take care of your family. And I just said, out of the purest of heart, brother, it's about souls. It's about people. I want to see people come to Christ. We don't have much time. We don't have much time in that. I want to be a representative of God, and I want to be a person that's going to go out every day to see someone receive the gift that was given so freely to me. And I understand, as the body, that not always can I go out and do that, but the body can go out and do that. Come on. I'm in a place where I'm with my dad maybe 5 hours a day, helping him, doing what God's called me to do. I have a heart, George, to go to lunch with you. I haven't been able to do that yet. My friend here. I have a heart, and in this difficult time of life, I'm continuing with my oars of grace and mercy going forward, knowing that he's my strength, knowing this, and in the middle of it all, God is speaking great vision into my life. Isn't that amazing, where you would think, God, I can't take any more. Just let me get finished with the last one. He's taking me and showing me things that I've never even dreamed of, never even thought of, because the plan is in his hand. And we have to understand this, that I'm just ashes. I'm just ashes. I've said that I'm a nobody. I said that I'm a zero, but now I've even understand that all I am is ashes. Isn't it amazing that ashes can blow with the wind? A wind come, it will just blow ashes everywhere. I want to be moved by the wind of God and allow myself to be like ashes that are going where he's wanting me to go, doing what he's wanting me to do, being a representative like he wants me to be a representative. Come on. Where are you at in the boat? In this hour, we're here as Church Living Waters. We're here to reach people. We cannot reach people with any form of religion. Come on, we cannot reach people with what we feel that we should have done with any forms of this religion. It has to fall down, and we have to reach people with God's love, and it has to come from God. It has to come from him, and it has to come in and through us, and it has to receive people for who they are, for where they're at, and for what they're doing. And it cannot be any type of judgmental thing. We have to close our eyes if we have to close our eyes, but we have to continue to let God's love flow out and flow through people. We had a family leave our neighborhood, and they moved, and they got a big house with a swimming pool. And my kids, like, have the right to just go in their back and go swimming. I don't even have to take care of the pool. I don't even have to pay for it, and they have a free pool just across the street. It's a pretty good thing. Always clean, always ready. But they moved, and we talked to them the other day, and they spoke to us about who's moving in, 6 kids. And we're thinking, wow, 6 kids. We have 6 kids. But then they said, yes, 6 kids, and it's 2 men that are living there. I did the same thing. But God said, Darren, I've told you and told you and told you, will you receive my people? Moving across the street from me, can I be his ashes and let him blow over to me and be his love and represent his love? The people in the last hour that God's wanting to reach, and he wants to use us as his body. Amen. Wanted to speak just a few things, what God's calling us into in this time. I have it memorized, I think. Here it is. The first thing that I said, God works and he's amazing with the people that finish. And in your life, God's called you now to come up and have a strong finish. The children are out, amen. We have some that have just graduated. We have some young. But if you're in my generation, which is, you know, pretty young, if you're in that generation, if you go to bed before 10, I'm talking to you. If you can't catch the news anymore, here we are. Amen. God has called us, and he's called us to be strong. There's a generation that we're going to raise that we now have to turn our faces to, and we have to love, 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 love that generation. And we have to encourage, we have to encourage, we have to encourage. It's the generation that the enemy's coming with everything he has to take them. And God's all about generations. Come on, he's all about generations. If someone in my life at 45 years old is not thinking about the next generation, then my mind is in the wrong place. Because we're just one generation away from losing everything that God has done. And we have to rise up and we have to say, no, we'll pour into this next generation. I say that because 30 years ago, God placed in my mom and dad's heart a ministry called Living Water Christian School. And Church of Living Waters, me and my wife, 4 years ago, when the tragedy happened with my mom and my sister, my mom was the administrator. My sister was the principal. The school was in a mighty place. And just over a Christmas holiday, they were taken from us. And me and my wife's hands were just like this, like not only with them being taken, but what are we going to do? Knowing that God has called me for such a time as this. As I spoke about Esther last week, for such a time as this, God has called me. But God, I'm not qualified. God, I'm not this, I'm not that. But he spoke clearly to me, Darren, I want to move you. I want to let the wind of my spirit move you to do the things that I've called you to do. I come back now 4 years saying Living Water Christian School is a place that God has called. He's ordained to keep our children in a place of safety, a place of innocence. Not only a place of safety and innocence, but teach them about going against the current. Come on, we need to teach them very young about the current that we live in. We don't want to put them right in a place as a young kid of just jumping in the river going. Because then at 15, 16, when we're trying to say no, you need to, they've already so used to society. And let me tell you this, I praise God for great teachers because there's many of them. And there's many things going on. But I'm going to be very careful who's going to teach my children in this hour. I'm going to be careful who I'm going to give into a whole hour every day of speaking into my children because there's so many agendas in this world. And the agendas are all against Jesus. I know that I'm speaking strong today. God has spoken to me. I speak that because now we're to a point now where God is saying that Living Water Christian School and many that will be planted in this hour are going to be a refuge place for his children. We must carry out this vision, Church of Living Waters. We must. It's been given to us. We didn't have to create it. We didn't have to start it. We didn't have to go through all the birthing pains. We didn't have to go through all of this stuff. We get 30 years of a foundation that's very deep, very strong, very successful, and we get to say, this is a ministry God's called us to. God is speaking to me, and he's telling me, praise God for this facility. We also have 20 acres that this facility sits on. And before us, people have paid for the land. God is going to be calling us to move out in the land, to surround the land, to possess the land. I know that. But he's speaking to me that there's something that we must do. Can I tell you something that we must do? Three people, okay? Got your ears? We built this facility. Kenny knows we were in this gym, and there was no rooms. If you've never walked around the rooms, there's rooms in every building. Donald, you've been in all of them. He graduated from Living Water Christian School here. He's a blessing here. You're a blessing, brother. So we were in this facility, and then all the rooms were not finished, and we tackled each room at a time. And praise God for men and women of God. We didn't contract it out. We did it. I remember cutting a hole for the plug in sheetrock. Me and my dad were doing it. And my dad's an architect. And man, he's got lines and all kinds of stuff on it, marking out that square. And we put that sheetrock up, and the square wouldn't be on the it'd be on the other side. It'd get so frustrating. We'd do it again. We'd have to use, he told me one time, we're going to go buy 3 more sheets of sheetrock. You don't need to tell everybody. We finally got that hole done, and we had to buy one of these jumbo jumbo things because our hole was so big to get in that little square. I go look at the jumbo thing all the time and remember my dad cutting it out. We've placed rooms of $185,000 science lab that the people rose up and did it. A computer lab, the labs, the rooms that teach our children. And I don't come here saying things. I just come here telling you that the ministry of Living Waters Christian School is a very important ministry. There's one room that we haven't finished in this whole facility. And the room is right here, and it's a storage room, but that room has been designed to be a kitchen. If there's a ministry that's worthy of a kitchen, come on, if there's a ministry that needs a kitchen, it's this ministry. We have over 150 kids here every day, some from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We need to be able to provide them a hot meal.
I would stand in front of God
and I say, God, these are your children. These are the ones you love, God. I need your help, Father. I know you have the best, as a brother shared that today. Great faith of what God is telling me, that the resource is there, that we just have to tap into it. We just have to believe. We just have to, as God spoke to me, what we have to do is that we have to give some in the middle and allow him to work. I praise God, the little boy brought the fish and loaves of bread because it gave God something to multiply. All we have to do is bring the fish and loaves, church. And the fish and loaves is going to be multiplied. It's a promise by God. God's going to do it. He's going to use us to do it. But as we bring the fish and loaves, he's going to multiply it. Not only multiply it, he's told me that when the kitchen is finished, that a new beginning is going to start. And that's why the 20 acres are here. I'm not here to have to build buildings. I'm telling you, I'm here to build people. But there's a reason why we have the land. I didn't buy it. I didn't. I was just hearing my mom and dad say, we must have it. We need it for what God is going to do here. I get to be a benefit of saying that's our land. It's as much my land as it is your land. It's as much your land as it is my land. That's why many people say, why do you open the facility up for all the time? It's because it's not my facility. It's your facility. It's our facility. Yes, there has to be arrangements for it to make sure we not have all kinds of stuff going on double. But this is your facility to have a wedding in. You don't need to pay for it. It's yours. This is your facility to have a baby shower in. This is our facility because God's given it to us. And he gets the glory. Amen? Amen. Let me just tell you some things that God's speaking to me. That this summer, God has put in front of us to raise $25,000. Couple of amens. I'll tell you right from the beginning, me and my wife commit $2,000 to this. So basically God's told us now to raise $23,000. Also, I'll tell you that our youth and children have committed through their leadership to raise $7,000. Come on. Come on. The youth and children. Isn't it amazing how God uses people? Uses children, uses young people to say, we commit. I always want to be like a young person to say, I'll do it. God, don't have to use someone else. I'll do it. And you know, God has told me just to put this in front of the body. And you know, I'm someone that doesn't always, I'm not someone to raise finances. Come on. I'm someone to preach the gospel. But there's times of great challenge that God puts in front of us. My dad has always told me that the people need to be challenged. Because it helps them grow. It helps them strengthen. It helps them stretch. That if there's no challenge in front of the people, they're not going to grow. So there's a challenge in front of us. The things that the $25,000 is going to do, it's going to build a kitchen. Really nice kitchen that at that wall right there, you're going to see this thing that rolls up and it's going to be a kitchen behind it and be able to serve like that. We need playground flooring. We have a playground that we're not able to use. It's a special kind of flooring where the babies don't eat the rocks or eat the sand or the kitty, whatever that is. It's a flooring that goes on it. We need practice fields for football and soccer. Our practice fields are not only for our Christian school. God has put in my heart, and he's going to raise up a thing of soccer here for our community to be able to bring every kid that wants to play soccer, put a uniform on them, and let them play as a team. But we need a soccer field. And so, you know, we have the land. It's just going out and doing it. This next Saturday, we'll be building a 10 by 12 food storage facility for the Lord's Kitchen. And we're going to be financing that. If you're able to help with your hands and know a little bit what you're doing, you could talk to me. But that's something that we're blessing the Lord's Kitchen with. We're in connection with them. And when we said we're going to do this, Anthony Bercera said this, I've been believing for this from the very beginning. A 10 by 12 storage facility. This 10 by 12 storage facility that we're going to build is going to open up an everyday food pantry that from 8 to 5 people can come and receive food. We're going to be one of the churches out of 15 churches that we've connected with that's going to fill that food pantry up with food. There's not going to be anybody in this area, Rosenberg and Richmond, that needs food that can't go get it. We need to build the facility for it. Amen. We have through our future program, we have a street called Clark Street that we want to remodel a home and re-roof two houses. And we want to do a vacation Bible school, not only in our ministry here, but also out in a park, a VBS that's a mission VBS. There's a lot of things that God's asking us to do. And I've just put this out to the body. Me and my wife are going to rise up and we're going to do our part. Amen. We're going to do what God's called us to do. I think we have some envelopes that we're going to not pick up an offering so much today. But what these envelopes are, it's a pledge. And what God has told me this is that our monthly income of tithes and offerings is about $29,000. I praise God for the people that have given. I mean, you know, I'm not here to say that's a lot, that's not. I'm here to say it's enough. Praise God. Amen. We do a lot of ministry in this facility. A lot of things happen. We help out people every day. If you would just get to see what that finances get to do, you would be overwhelmed with what God's doing here. So if we would just all over the summer just give another tithe, we would be able to have the finances. Do you know that God really uses offering? What we can't do is take this out of our tithe. He really uses offering. He allows us to say, let me plant this into something and let God move in it. And we're going to get to see the benefit.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.